We're going to continue talking about pillars tonight, but we're going to come at it from a different angle. The greatest enemy, or the end result of what we are about, must be faith in its purest sense, but faith that worketh by love. Now, that's tested in all kinds of things. It's tested in the end being, the end of the commandment is unfeigned love of the brethren and all that other kind of stuff. But what the greatest enemy of faith, or enemies of faith, are the pillars, or is the pillar and what's on the pillar. Now, how did that pillar get engraved? Where did those things on the pillar come from? The point of origin for the strength of the pillar are the fires of Molech. That's where the deepest engravings from the pillar come from. And Molech, the fires of Molech, it isn't just the parents that pass you through the fire of Molech, it's the society. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire. Again, let me read it. There's all kinds. There's Leviticus 18, 21, Leviticus 20, verse 2. Again shalt thou say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then will I set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. Now, the world was created in faith. God the Father had a thought. God the Son was the Word. And God the Holy Spirit was the action. And the same is true in each of us at every given moment. The thought is the Father, the Word is the Son, and the action is the Holy Spirit. That's the empowerment. That's the meaning of the Trinity brought into your life. Now, there's only one enemy of that concept of thought, word, deed. And that enemy is doubt. That enemy is second-guessing the thought. That enemy is structuring the thought around the pillar. You understand? Jesus said over and over again, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father. Again, in order for something to be said, there's a thought that originates, it's spoken, and then if it's spoken without doubt, then that which is spoken is as automatic as the sun is going to shine. If you say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. Jesus said, the works that I do, they're the works of the Father. You know, the whole concept of this unity we've seen 1,000 times over and over and over and over again in the Scriptures. That's the meaning of faith. Thought, word, action. That's what gives faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's talk about how this is polluted. God in His majesty, all men are created in the image of God. They contain this God. Now, simplicity defines thought, word, action. That's what man was created to do, to be. Now, just as with the natural, the pillars and the... You remember I told you last night, the function of the high place was to provide a competing alliance, or a competing, it's competing alliance. That it was the high place and the gods and all of the images and all of the notations on the pillars, the engravings, all provided a competing alliance to faith or to Yahweh, to pure faith. Because you judge it. You judge it by cause and effect. You judge it by process. You judge it by whether or not it's spiritual or whether or not you think it's God's will. You judge it by whether or not it fits the doctrine. You judge it in the natural, you judge it by, oh, that's impossible. Well, how do you know it's impossible? The only reason you know it's impossible is because of reasonableness defined by the pillar. In your sense of the pillar, that is an impossible act. To the simple faith of a child, there is nothing impossible. But you judge it against what is written on your pillar. And in that point of judgment, you define its impossibility or irrationality. In other words, you calculate without God. Am I communicating? Do you see this? But I want you to see the universality of this. This isn't religious. The way the human race is, no thing that's ever been done by the human, by any member of the human race has ever been done without the process, of without this, thought, word, action. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Do you see that? Do you understand that the thing which that interrupts... The only thing that you're concerned with in terms of time, in terms of this spark that takes place internally from the thought, is how to formulate the word. Now that normally is instantaneous if there's abandonment. But if there's second guessing, if there's concern for self, if there's concern for viability, if there's concern for rationality, if there's concern for religiosity, then that thought has to pass through and be judged against all of the engravings on your pillar. And so therefore, that's what we call doubt, because you're choosing between one or more options. Understand?
Well, I'm kind of up on the ceiling right now.
I know, because it's coming against your pillars. Well, I mean, let's use the chair.
Yeah.
You had to have a thought that says, I'm going to sit down. Now, whether or not you consciously, or it came to your consciousness or not, is immaterial. In effect, there was a word... There was a confirmation in your being which defined that as a reasonable thing to do. And then there was the action of sitting down. Mm-hmm. I don't care whether, I mean, I want you to get rid of any religion here tonight. I want you to see that this is the way all men do stuff. When you read in religious journals or testimonies, especially when you read of the early missionaries to China or to Africa, and you read of these men and women who they simply, they when one of these people that hadn't gone through the pillars of U.S. culture, they were taught that if you lay hands on someone, they would be healed. And they didn't think about it. They just believed it. They laid hands on someone and they were healed. There's no doubt it happened. It was the faith of the small child because there was no pillar there to interrupt it. If you look at Jesus, again, there was never the there was no leaven. All I want you to see is that all of this is a function of leaven, because you see, you judge, you see lack, you see the possibilities of failure. And so therefore it creates the doubt. Or if you're religious, as James says, you ask and you receive not because you think you will consume it on your own lust.
Does that?
Well, but that's the meaning of it. I have the feeling I'm talking in Greek.
No, you're not.
No.
I just feel like you don't
want
anything said.
No, I want something said.
So it's a prophecy filter. It's the only thing that keeps all thoughts from instantly being translated into words.
To word and then to deed.
Yeah.
It's a sort.
It's kind of neat. It's like...
It's a what?
You know,
a sort. It's
we're
sort.
So interconnected with what's going on, is that the thought automatically
it's judged.
Becomes what is, if it's unless it's blocked.
So the pillar is the yardstick. It's the test that we put God to.
And we've done it so long.
We don't know any different.
We don't even realize that we're doing it. It's become some things are subconscious, because you formulate the thought and you can't even speak it into words until
it has to pass the test
before it can even come out, and you don't even know you're doing it. You just know you don't say something.
That's what's sad, because it's like zero without consciousness, or
that's something to do with the Tower of Babel.
No, it has something to do with your pillars, and your pillars were engraved through the passing of the fire of Moloch.
Those neuron paths are so engraved, they're used so much so often that it's...
I can't help but think about how daring the children are for that reason, because it just comes out. They don't think about it, just spew it out.
They haven't been molded to say, no, say that nice, or don't say that way, or don't fight, or don't, you know.
Yeah, but I can imagine how God must feel when we become, as a small child, just...
You know, something I've been reading about is the talking about neurological pathways. It's like how much those can be changed if something happens. You know, it's like...
It's a competing stimuli.
It's like when I'm thinking about it, I'd really like to do this, what we're talking about. And I can see how something's going to happen. That's why I'm getting real nervous, because I know that something after, you know, we get to the end of all this stuff here, then I'll have a different way of being or something. And it's like the Holy Spirit does something in you that's such a powerful thing that it creates deeper pathways than the old ones, even somehow. And that's how it's possible to for this to happen.
Man.
But when you're saying, I thought of Peter walking on the water, you know, it was blocked somehow at that moment, at least for a time, when he went out and walked on the water.
But again, I want you to try to forget religion. Please, I mean, that's...
Shall we quit breathing, too?
Some of my best words. The prettiest ingredients.
Thought, word, deed. Thought, word, deed. Automatic. But in order for you to do this, you must know that one singular mystery, that you have the mind of Christ, that you and the Father are one, that there's no thought that can originate that isn't of the Father, that all you must be so bold in faith as to say, at this moment, at every singular moment, it is the Father that is in me, both willing and doing of his good pleasure. There is never a time in which he isn't doing that. Now, the critical moment in this process is thought to word. It's where critical mass exists. Now, most of you do it so often, and it's so endemic to your nature, that you have no concept of what it means to prophesy, because this is what prophesying is. It is so foreign to your nature to prophesy that when I say the word prophesy to you, you start thinking about what prophecy is. I mean, you're so tied, you're so bound by religion, religion meaning not God stuff in religion, but religion meaning what you give breath to, that you cannot possibly ever conceive of what I'm talking about.
I feel like if I prophesied, then I would see how evil I am.
All right, we've gone beyond that. You don't have a right to even think that any longer. And this, in the interface between word, thought, and word, this is where the concept of the single eye is extant. If your eye is single, it's finished, it's done. The thought is the same as the finished. I mean, there is no such thing as a thought that isn't a finished product. It's impossible.
Okay, if you say, you know, if you thought it, it's the same as having done it. Well, what's word? I mean, I'm kind of getting.
The word has to be there. In that, what's because you have to be sanctified fully, body, soul, and spirit. The word has to be made flesh. The thought has to come into being. God could have thought, remember we just talked about this the other night, God could have thought the world into existence. But it says, and God said, and God said, and God said. Why? That it is an example for you. If you say to that mountain, be thou cast in the sea, and doubt not, it shall be done for you. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Whatsoever you desire, you shall have. No how-tos. No sense of timing. No sense of reasonableness. No desire, no concern of whether or not you'll use it for your own lusts. No concern, no even thoughts, well, is this in God's will? No even thought about the calculations of how it's to be accomplished.
This would certainly make you head of the ball, man. Certainly.
That's why the how-tos are so abhorrent. It's thought, It's spoken, and it's finished. But it takes a great deal of guts for this to take place.
What is the process that happens now in the unregenerate mind?
Meaning, in all minds, what happens is it's filtered by
pillars.
The pillars.
Okay.
Look. If you knew, this is simply the secret that Christ knew. Took him a while to find it out completely, but it's taken you a while. Now you know it. Now there's no excuse. There's no place to hide any longer.
This is not really anything different than anything we've ever said.
Well, I didn't expect it to be. But I do expect you to see that whatsoever you do in thought, in word, or in deed, do as unto the Father. What the hell does that mean? Well, we've said a lot of things about it. But the real thing it means is that you see no separation. The way in which you see no separation is to see the destruction of the pillars. Now, this is what Abraham did. In Abraham's life, his pillars were subjected and therefore seen through the process of, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like this, even if it works. I'm not going to do it this anymore. All he did through his whole life. But he took the risks of testing it to the ultimate. He fucked up all the time. What do I sense that everybody's in shock?
Well, in me, it's because this is shock. This is the scariest goddamn thing you've ever seen.
Is that a good enough reason?
I mean, this is going to get me killed. This is going to get me thrown out of the synagogue. This is going to get me hated. This is going to get me killed, and it's scary.
See, those are all pillars too, though. You're judging the quality of the response.
I can see the entire city of Dallas, the entire United States, the entire world, and the entire universe closing in on this room.
Who cares?
Well, right now it's scary.
Let's take a vacation instead.
Can we just take a vacation?
I mean, we won't be able to go anywhere.
Stop them, maybe.
Anywhere without bringing wrath upon.
I meant to tell you before I sent those press releases out, I took my byline off the paper.
I thought you were going to say, wrote it. What's scary is now that I've heard this, I know this is what's going to happen.
Well, it doesn't matter. But I want you to know.
It doesn't matter to you.
Now, God has an interesting thing to do. Now, again, I can only talk from personal experience. I've told you before that for the first year that I was a believer, everybody I prayed for was healed. Everything I prayed for was accomplished, it seemed like. I mean, there was nothing. It was thoughts, spoken, finished. And there was great temptation to run around and be an evangelist or whatever you call it, somebody that goes on and teaches stuff. The real test of this process is this critical moment between thought and word. Okay, for an individual, or at least for some individuals, then that process, if through whatever the uniqueness or the vagaries of their own life, the pillars had been destroyed, then that individual can be extremely dangerous. Now, God has a better way. God says that we must, as a body, operate with one thought, one word, and therefore one action. Because it's God demands that a body experience that critical mass or that unit that and be able to think as one and speak as one. Now that's the only reason we've been hanging around so long. It's easy, I mean, from a spiritual standpoint, it's easy to do this as one.
It is.
Well, I mean, it's no big thing. The mystery is, well, you do it. You do it in certain areas all the time, automatically.
That's why our backgrounds are so diverse, isn't it?
But you do it in things like, you know, you do it in the arenas there where there's no thought. You know, when Gary was a gymnast, he saw, he in effect spoke it by the visualization, and once it was seen, it was done. You ride a bicycle this way. You type this way. You speed read this way. You shave this way. The normal unconscious acts that you do are done. You do this thousands of times every day because there's no doubt. Now, take it to the point of bringing time to an end. Take it to the point of casting a mountain into the sea. All it takes is that it be done unconsciously in faith. It's the same thing. There's no difference. God didn't care whether it's bringing time to an end or sitting in a chair or shaving or brushing your teeth. There's no degree of faith, just as there's no degree of sin. If faith is operative, it's operative.
This is the ultimate without how-tos, because the minute you try to do this, you haven't done it by definition.
Well, this is an attitude. This is an I am position.
Right. And the thing I'd say is that it only comes from repentance. I mean, that's the only source of it, the cross.
Well, but I know, but I don't want us to be religious tonight. No more religion for a while. The cross is an extent, whether or not the name of Jesus isn't Jesus. We're talking about things that are fundamental to being. We're talking about I am. Can you sense it? The only reason that you're getting religious, and the only reason that you have all these little, is because of what's written in those pillars.
Pillars are sensing an attack.
The pillars are sensing being revenged. Now, we must see that because we are in union with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit, by His grace, that we think His thoughts, we speak His words, and we do His deeds. It's impossible to be in any other position. We have the mind of Christ. Therefore, in whatsoever position I am in, as I said before, at any given instant, at any given time, in any given situation, it is simply
Well, it's him.
It's him. Willing and doing of his good pleasure. Now try to imagine for a second the joy of that. Let's go to Mark 11. Now some of you, I'm serious. Some of you are so locked into pillardom. That there's just a faint glimmer that what I'm saying has any meaning. Because if you couldn't second guess, if you couldn't discern, I mean, I love that one. I love the way we use the word discern. If you couldn't evaluate, if you couldn't think it over, man, what would you have to do?
Okay, I'm sure you're going to get to this, but in this context, what is second guessing?
Doubting the thought.
Right. That doubting that the thought is him.
Right.
Right.
But I mean, we're not
thinking about it at all.
Yeah.
Thinking about your thought.
Remember, before we go to Mark, go to Genesis 3. About verse 14? Somebody start that one. What does it say?
The serpent.
Huh?
The curse of the serpent.
Yeah, start there.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Okay. The seed of woman shall bruise the head. Now, we've talked about this so many times, but everything comes back to here. The word bruise is the Hebrew word which means overcome. The head is the Antichrist, the seed of the serpent. The seed of woman shall overcome the head of the Antichrist. And if to overcome it means, and that's what it means to be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. So there's never an attempt at the... don't you understand that it sounds so sincere to think about it. It sounds so sincere to evaluate it. But what you're doing is you are amplifying the independent self. From God's standpoint, it's the ultimate sin. But it sounds so righteous, so good, so nice. And you've been taught to do that so intently. And it's just engraved deeply in every one of your pillars. But what it is, you must see. It's the attempt to be as God. Judging for yourself good and evil. Okay, if you hadn't done that up till now, you wouldn't have survived.
I can see that.
I knew you could. But now,
how about it?
Now, we are ready to revenge that disobedience, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's no longer, whether you believe it or not, a lot of this stuff is child's play for one individual. It's a childish thing.
Which individual
is that? I mean, you thought somebody was going to say that.
To any individual, it's a childish thing.
You're going to have to run by the bringing every thought into captivity, because all of a sudden it seems opposite. It seems like you should think about it before you say it.
The way you bring every thought into captivity is by what? Casting down the strongholds in every high place. Then every thought is automatically brought into captivity.
Because it's not covered up.
It's just seen. Mm-hmm. We have the mind of Christ.
It's like the thoughts are in captivity now to the pillar and to the grove. Mm-hmm. And so when you see that those have been overcome, then you just declare it. You know,
that is the
it's
casting
now the
down
property of you know God. Mm-hmm.
So the pillar is the yardstick by which I measure good and evil. If something measures up to the pillar,
well,
it's evil.
Yeah, but no, it's much more than that. That's one aspect of it. The pillar is the how to do it.
So I compare all situations. I compare everything to the pillar. I always consult the pillar.
Yeah.
Or
but it's not just good or evil, it's just how to survive.
So I'm constantly going up and down the chart, looking to see what fits what's on that pillar.
That's why it's so evil. Yeah.
Well, that's the way the mind works.
I know it is. Okay, let me show you something. Go to 2 Corinthians.
2 out of 3. You know, I'm sitting here halting between two opinions. One minute I feel like crying, and the next minute I feel like giggling.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't even notice. I didn't remember this. It's still a part of chapter 10 about the weapons and casting down and stuff. Verse 12, chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. I just said that.
That's
what I just said. That's what I just said.
That wasn't there before.
Okay, now let's see what the end result of this is. Mark 11. What?
Said it must not be in the best text.
But, I mean...
I can't believe the freedom I'm feeling. I mean, all of a sudden I see that they were there for a reason, and it's just now they're not needed.
Amen. So you don't have the right to you can condemn yourself about anything.
Right.
Even John doesn't.
I mean, we're in the battle of the soul.
Maybe John does. Let me take that back.
Wait a minute, I just saw something. If the law means not only the 613 laws, but it also means the way a thing works, then up until this point, the pillar has been law.
That's what I've been telling you for...
Wait a minute. It's been the tutor and the governor of the young child, and now it's not needed.
Right.
It is.
Well, I know. I just saw that too. It's the law.
My mind can't speak.
That's why it's stone.
Would you shut up?
My
My pillar keeps telling me that I'll be a blithering idiot.
Yeah, you will be. There's no way we can conceive.
Or more of a blithering idiot.
There's no way we can conceive of the fact that we could ever have adventure or love or receive love without having a subjective viewpoint.
But the whole thing is you have it because of them. Now you will.
Yeah.
Please don't.
You just think you have it.
Really?
No, it's possible.
It's too scary. I'm going to have to block some of that.
I'm not under the law.
Do you understand why I hate how-to stuff so badly?
No.
It's law.
Some of it works.
All of it works.
Some of it works better than others. Well, are you going to tell us how to destroy the
pillar? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Can we write another engraving on the pillar? How to destroy this pillar?
Now, there's already there's an engraving on the pillar that God put there.
If you can read this, you're too damn close.
No, he said, on the bottom of each of the pillars, it says, this pillar will self-destruct March 8,
1986. Made in Taiwan.
Warranty runs out on this pillar.
Warranty.
Best not be.
What do you call that when we're talking about the tabernacle? I mean the temple? All these things were waiting until the
temple was
dedication
dedicated.
Of the temple. That's the word I wasn't using my subjective consciousness.
Well, let's go to Mark 11.
Lends a new meaning to extrication daily.
Well, as we've seen so many times, that the farther we go on this walk, the more that we see we need each other. I mean, okay, Mark 11, verse 20. Remember, he's just cursed the fig tree. Up a couple verses up. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed, in that it is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Now, as I've told you 1,000 times, when we've studied that scripture, it's not what it says. It says, Have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Didn't say whatsoever thing God desires. It says whatsoever thing you desire. Didn't say whatsoever thing you desire if it be in God's will, or whatsoever thing you desire if it be nice, or whatsoever, all the other possible judgments that you could make. It says whatsoever thing you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them.
But didn't it someplace else say something about God's will in some other scripture about a similar one?
Mm-hmm. Well, what is God's will? I mean,
Well, why say, why go through things saying?
Well, it was probably added by somebody with a lot of pillars because they were afraid of the power of it. I don't care what it says, John. I mean, I do. But what I'm telling you tonight isn't by what it says, it's by revelation. And you can check it and recheck it 10,000 times. but it's whatsoever you first, the thought, the saying, and it's completed. It's the desire that you see is from God. Now just have the courage to speak the desire without second guessing it. That's what praying is. Praying isn't begging or beseeching. I mean, that's the prayer of the child. The prayer of the adolescent is, the prayer of the child is, oh my God, God, please give me this. I really need it. Help me. Oh my God. The prayer of the adolescent is, this is what I want, but I'm not sure it's in your will. The prayer of the young man is, this is what I want, but I'm still kind of... The prayer of the father is... The prayer of the young man is anticipation. The prayer of the father is affirmation.
Is all that makes up the Antichrist mind just pillars and groves, or is it more to it than that?
John, thanks to John. John took a picture of his mind. Made a graph. John took a whole movie of his mind. It's got a grove and a pillar and a Molech and a false altar and a Kadesh and a table and music and tithes and drink offerings and incense altars.
There you have it.
But the two main characters are Balaam and Ishtar, or Ashtar, or the grove, the pillar in the grove. Now, there's a lot of evidence to indicate that Molech and the pillar were the same thing.
So, in innocence as a child, I'm trying to figure out...
It's the point, remember, what? Except you become as a small, as this little child, and can no wise enter the kingdom. The word there is technon. Mm-hmm. And the word means, it means without self-awareness.
Okay, we were that way, but we, because...
Just like Christ.
Mind, though, didn't stay that way.
No, because we're parents and our society passed us through the fires of Moloch.
But didn't we not stay that way because we were fallen? Because what was evil?
You've always so been it. Crucified with Christ. Your true identity has always been Christ.
Okay, is that
your mind,
everybody?
Of course. Your mind is the one that exerted itself with, as the independent self, which is to be instead of Christ. Everybody.
So it's the pillar and the grove that formed, or were already there, or I can't understand that.
I don't know what you can't understand. I don't know what you don't understand.
I don't understand.
You were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world.
Okay.
Your real identity has always been in the New Jerusalem. Your real identity has always been Christ.
Okay, what is this that's testing Christ then? Is it just the pillar and it's just the grove?
Well, the primary thing, no, but those are the two primary arenas that are the enemies of faith. Well, the one enemy, the pillar being the enemy of faith, the grove being the enemy of freedom. But the other aspects of it are all the aspects of the false, the religious, of the religion of the Antichrist. It's only your mind. Do you understand that? Can you see that? That's why the mind must be renewed. The mind is always the enemy of the cross. This is the ultimate cross, folks, because you don't exist in this process. There's no independent self. There's no self-exertion. There's no concern for how I will look. There's no concern where am I doing the right thing. I is gone from the picture. You only see union. You only see your true identity. It's gone. The independent self, the cross, is manifested.
You just said something. You said that the pillar is the enemy of faith.
Grove is the enemy of freedom.
Grove is the enemy of freedom. I don't want freedom when I'm in unbelief. I won't want freedom until I'm in belief, until faith comes. I won't want the grove destroyed until the pillar's destroyed.
Right. Good point.
You can open the cell door, but I will not walk out.
Man. Let's go to Zechariah. I want to show you something. It's kind of neat.
You said three or four things that were real fuzzy there, all right in a row. And they're so fuzzy I can't even remember what they were. But I didn't like them.
He's dissipated into the atmosphere. That's one thing about pillars. They're good and hard.
Well, let's just go to one verse. Zechariah 4, verse 7. And I don't feel like going into all of the imagery here, but just accept this. Don't worry about it if you can't find it. Forget it. Just listen. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain.
Read that again.
Who art thou, O great mountain? Or great high place. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Or it doesn't even say that in the Hebrew. It just says, before Zerubbabel, a plain.
Who's Zerubbabel?
He's the guy that made the other temple that...
Zerubbabel's temple. No, we are sure about it.
We're not sure about that temple. It's an extra temple.
No, it isn't. It's in Haggai. Okay, let's look at a couple others. Go to James.
So who is Zerubbabel?
Is it Canaanite?
Sir, it's you.
Oh.
He didn't comment on that verse.
The mountain is a plain. If you say to that mountain, be thou removed, you're a plain.
So if you say to that pillar, be thou removed,
you're gone.
Good.
Really? How do you say, be thou removed?
Wait a minute.
Okay, it's time to build some more pillars. You need to start evaluating the way you're going to sound before you. But don't you understand that most of you have built, all you've done with the doctrine is added it to your pillar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely works. Let the world game to play the doctrine game. I know that.
Chuck Woolery is host.
Saint number two. What are
you? James. Did I say James?
No.
Just did.
Oh, I said it before.
James. I'm sure you had the thought.
After Hebrews, before Hebrews.
Do all of you know that James was in the Bible for the first 400 years of the church?
Or was it?
It was one of the many letters that were not considered canonical.
What others were?
We're not going to go into that tonight.
Jude's a pretty dubious one.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. My brethren, count it the highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, if the pillar is the biggest enemy of faith, then also the pillar is the greatest instrument for the trying or testing. Capisce? I mean, if the concept of thought, word, action was manifested in you instantly all your life, then there would never have been a trial. You understand? Now,
are you affirming?
Huh?
Are you affirming that?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to see if everybody else is agreeing. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect or completed work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now that's, of course, a lesson of Abraham. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now what is wisdom? Wisdom is always in the feminine. Wisdom is always connected with the knowledge of the mystery of the bride. It's the antithesis of the independent self. It's impossible to have independent wisdom in the scriptures. That's why it's impossible to have isolated or the salvation of the isolated self. But yet, secretly, the pillar causes you to want that, to desire that as a goal.
Yeah, I always wanted it, and then I think I wanted it for the wrong reasons.
Oh yeah, the pillar's very sincere. Pillar's always real.
Isn't part of that because there's absolutely no one that can score 100% against my pillar? If I measure, which I do,
well,
if
no.
I measure everybody against my pillar, there's nobody that can measure up.
Well, neither can you. But that's the point of the...
But at least I'm the one doing it.
The point of it is to cause you to measure yourself, and that will cause the destruction of it. It'll be, you know, when you
yeah, if I stop measuring myself,
you won't measure anybody else.
Anybody else.
Okay, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, you remember when we studied Romans, and remember we talked about the word doubt, and it meant to judge or to look at more than one opinion or more than one possibility? Remember I've told you that it's the Israel, the nation of Israel, they were guided by the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud. Do you see how those are the antithesis of the pillar of stone? And when the cloud was down, they waited. But why did the cloud ever go down? The only reason the cloud ever went down is because it was time to destroy a piece of the pillar of stone.
Last night when we read the thing about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and he said to Israel, how long will you halt between two or an infinite number? What he was really saying was, how long will you doubt?
Right.
Yeah. That's the only time it's doubt is when there's doubt.
But doubt is simply the activity of the how-to-ness of your mind.
So doubt is just like a sign that says pillar,
yeah.
Pillar.
What happened when they destroy a part, like part of Israel's thinking or something?
They saw through, hopefully.
Whenever they halted, then what's recorded there that goes on is...
Pillar stuff.
Then when they were in agreement, it rose and they moved.
Right.
Right. And in this context, then, that is the wisdom that it's talking about. When you come to the point of the cloud is down, then wisdom is to see why the cloud is down. To
exhort one another.
Yeah.
I was thinking that what we do most of the time is if there's doubt, we wait until we figure out the best choice. Instead of waiting until there's no doubt, there is no choice. I mean,
right.
There's only one.
You don't have a choice.
Right. But you understand why wisdom defines this not as an independent act of self. Wisdom defines this as an act of a nation or a people.
what are like pillars in here? What are our body pillars?
We think that waiting is a virtue. We think a pillar of the body in many instances is that poverty is a virtue. We think that we should be different than we are. We think that the people should be different than they are.
We think we should be more spiritual. I think to a man, we think that,
right,
that we're not spiritual enough in the place where we are right now.
Right. We think that the appearance. It has to do with what we think things should look like.
Yeah, so the body has kind of developed pillars that we judge by.
Right.
The common.
They probably weren't developed. They were just common links of pillars we all had all the time. Common idolatry.
Why a pillar? I mean, was God just kind of going along with? I mean, what's endemic to man that makes it a pillar?
Penis.
Sex. Oh, okay.
It's all connected with sex.
Oh,
and then the grove is the
woman's
sex part, and
then the groove.
See,
that's
why.
Makes
it
easier
to remember.
Think of grove,
groove. No, but that's the idea of success is always the again as an entity is always has to do with fertility or reproduction, and so that is translated in our subconscious into sexuality.
When you were just saying how the pillar is intrinsically related to the penis kind of thing, the male deity, it's performance, it's the doing it right to achieve
success.
Success.
Right.
And anything that's a block to prophecy, because I have to judge what I say, so I'll be successful.
That's interesting.
Well, I don't want to talk anymore. That's enough. Yeah, please, if you take nothing else away tonight from any of this, take away thought, word, deed. And the critical juncture, the area between thought and word should be instant. And the reason it isn't is because of the pillar. And the pillar's engravings came primarily from the fires of Molech. You think that you've thought them out. You think that you have reasoned them out and made it this way, and this is why it's successful, and this is, and you've applied great pride in your own Molech things. But they, for the most part, all are there from before you were 5 years old.
So. We've said
and so you have no reason to be prideful in them.
Well, we've said that these are reasoned kinds of things, but in a
they're reasoned. They're the corporate reason of the society, not okay. The individualized reason.
Yeah,
you learn the reasons for them after they've
already
begun to be.
Right. They are reasonable and they are successful, but they are the enemy of faith.
So now we know the location of the pillar. It's located between thought and word.
Right.
Blocking.
And that's what, and to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and be not conformed to this world, the way by which the mind or that you are conformed to the world is that pillar.
It grows and more to do with action.
Right.
Because you just
right.
Do things.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next, the action relationship to grows, because it's emotional. You understand? Thought, word, deed. Father, Son, Spirit.
Can I ask one more question? Why do catastrophes seem to destroy a lot of those kind of things? Like with Ed, you know, his dad.
Because it's the fear of God. The only if you have the fear of God, you can't have a pillar.
Short circuit.
like the and song so, about earthquakes and shaking everything.
Right.
So we in effect put ourselves into a catastrophe.
No, God puts you into catastrophe. The Holy Spirit puts you into a catastrophe.
We just pay our 50 bucks. You
know, we pay our 50 so now, bucks.
Is this starting to give us a picture of the process that we're about? The creation of catastrophe, the creation of earthquake, and it's destroyed by speaking through it. You speak to the mountain.
You speak to the wind. You speak to the earthquake. You speak, and that spoken word has more power than anything in the universe.
I have a question. How do we speak as a body? Is it when something seems like it should happen or it's right, and then we speak as a body?
The body. First of all, I'm not sure how to answer your question because I think it has a lot of different answers. I know that as a body, fundamentally that you don't. I mean, everything in the body has to be in agreement. So I mean, just there's technical things like if we shouldn't. Unless everybody can go, or we shouldn't go camping on the 26th of May or whenever. It's just little things. But I don't know what it means, except that more than likely that each one of us will never see ourselves as separate from the New Jerusalem or this thing. I mean, no matter what you're doing in what arena, your identity is always here, therefore you will always speak.
As we're thinking and speaking, we see ourselves as part of the body.
Right.
And it's all of one spirit, and it's harmonious rather
right.
than different
right.
stuff.
Right.
It's like the same.
It's a one mind and one accord. And
the bottom line would be the prophecy of Abel.
Blood crying from the ground.
Yeah. It's what Harry was.
Gary, would you pray? But if anybody feels whatever, just let them say it.
Father, by knowledge, we can, with open hearts, say we thank you for the trials of faith that you have given us, and that we don't want to enter into this without tested and purified faith and understanding and knowledge. We trust that this is what you have in mind for us, and that our minds and hearts will be turned from ourselves to one another. We pray that these things on the pillars will be made real to us as they already are.
Thank you, Father.
By your faith, we'll speak to them and watch them crumble.
Pray.
And become as dust. But as we speak to the world, there'll be nothing to hinder the word that passes from our lips.
Thank you, Father.
That your creation will blossom right before us.
Father, I would that the forum is manifested, that we'd be able to make all men see the mystery of the fellowship, the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yes.
I thank you for that, Father.